Welcome to our morning show on WRCO and WRCE. I'm Phil Nee, and we have special guests from River Valley Area Community Gardens. And it seems like just yesterday that we had Doug Rouse in the studio and Rose Ellen Schneider, and we were talking about the upcoming season and the optimism. And here we are at the end of July. How can that be, Rose Ellen?
I don't know, Phil. It's gone by so fast. Despite the heat and everything, it's just flown by.
You had a chance at that time to kind of encourage folks to sign up, and how did it go, and how's the season been?
It went really well. We ended up with 38 families with garden plots, and then we had 26 kids in our Busy Bees program. That's ending tomorrow. And then we ended up with 9 junior gardeners, which was our biggest number of junior gardeners we had. And the junior gardeners ranged in age from age 10 to 15.
Oh, fun.
So, it was really nice to have the youth in the garden and the kids just perk it up. So it's been a good year. So
the numbers for your Busy Bees and the number of plots, is that pretty consistent with other years too?
Yes, it has been. We were about 26, 27 last year. I think it was 26. So yeah, it's 26 again this year. So, and we had a big turnover this past year. We lost about half of the Busy Bees, but we filled it up really fast. So, and we've got a waiting list for next year now. So we'll see who comes back, and then we'll fill in where we need to fill in with the waiting list. So yeah, it's exciting, you know, when you've got kids that are excited about being in the garden and about growing vegetables and flowers and looking at bugs and pollinators and hunting for earthworms and digging potatoes. It's just an exciting time to see all these young kids so excited. We even had one mom with twins that asked if they could have a plot because she was bringing her older son. So we had these 2.5-year-old twins there that had their own plot that would get the shovels out and dig in the dirt, you know, and smell their flower. And you know, it was just really cute. So, and that builds a lifetime of interest and memories. So we're excited about that. And that's our purpose, to build our next generation of gardeners.
Does it rejuvenate you when you see the youth and their excitement for everything?
Oh, I get so excited. I could come to the garden that morning just dead tired, and the kids show up, and it just, yeah, it just enlivens you. And they're, you know, they're running up to us. I don't know if Doug's had that experience, but I know they've come up to me. Miss Rose Ellen, look at my zucchini. I've got beans today. Look at the bug I found. You know, see my grasshopper when we were doing the bug thing? Everybody wanted to show me their bug. So it's just been exciting to see that, you know. And yeah, it's a great age. Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah. Doug, certainly you see that enthusiasm, I should say, from the kids, and that probably rejuvenates you too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, the energy level in, you know, kids that age is very impressive.
I'm sure it is.
As I get older. And they're very, inquisitive. I really am impressed with just the fact that, you know, they want to know things, and you know, they're excited to be there. So it's a great experience for them, and it's a great experience for us too. And it is important to instill in our youth an interest in plants and gardening and agriculture as well, because it's something we need.
They are catching bugs. I think you told me before we went on the air that it's been a pretty good year for insects, hasn't it?
Yeah, for insect pests, we've had, I would say, more insect pests than we've had in the last few years. Insects like heat. Their whole life cycle is driven by warmth, and they don't worry about the moisture because they get the moisture from the plants they eat. So when it's hot and dry, the insect pests eat that much more.
I'm sure they do. They've had a good year for that. It's been an interesting growing season, hasn't it?
It has been, yeah. The drought and the dryness, I was very impressed looking in June at how many days we got up in the morning and did not have any dew on the ground at all. It was dry. So along with just being dry in terms of precipitation, it was dry in terms of humidity. And so we don't have a lot of disease issues in the garden to speak of, but boy, the insect pests, I think, have been a bit more of a problem than usual. Hopefully that's going to change now. We're getting a bit more moisture, and the gardeners did a very impressive job of keeping up with watering, I would say, this year, given the drought. We do have a good water supply. We tap off a hydrant from the village, and we have three separate lines that supply the garden plots, and plenty of spigots and hoses. So the gardeners just have to take advantage of that, and they have.
We have had a few timely rains, though, as well.
Yes, we have, yeah. We got to a point where even, a half inch was wonderful, and fortunately we got that half inch or even an inch, and that's really helped recently, to say the least, yeah. Because, you really need on that lighter soil in the valley, you need to water fairly frequently to keep the soil moisture up. So when you get that inch, you can sort of relax for a couple of days.
No doubt. I got a few calls here at the station once in a while, with garden questions and things like that. Somebody mentioned the other day that they're noticing a lot more of the daddy long legs in the garden. Any reason for that that you know of? Or?
Not that I know of. As it turns out, I'll just say my own expertise is more in diseases than insect pests. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's disappointing this year because we don't have a lot of diseases yet. Of course, I need to know something about insect pests so I can tell the difference. But in terms of the spiders or the daddy long legs, I'm not really sure. They're a predator, so that's good. We like those in the garden.
I was going to say, it's not a bad thing.
No, they're actually a good insect, or actually they're not directly an insect, they're an arachnid. But
but now, we're not home free because some things could settle in. And are there some things that can affect tomatoes and potatoes and things like that now here down the stretch?
Yeah. So it had been so dry, we hadn't seen a lot of the blights that attack tomatoes. So in our garden plots, but I think more generally gardeners recognize that you get to August and you're starting to see quite a bit of leaf spotting and death of leaves on the tomato plants. And this year, I'd say tomatoes are looking better, but now that we've had the rain and the higher humidity, I think the diseases will come in. There's two important fungal diseases, Septoria leaf spot and early blight, and I have seen a little bit of that now on some of the leaves. And then there are a couple of bacterial diseases as well. So most gardeners, sometime in August, they're going to start to see these things, I think, take off on them. Yeah.
Are there things that we can do to try to slow that process?
Yeah, good aeration to keep things dry. So it's important to, and also taking off the lower leaves of the plant, both for aeration, but also to get rid of any disease that started. All of that helps. And then crop rotation is really important. You really don't want to plant tomatoes where you had them last year because the diseases, in fact, the organisms that cause those diseases survive in the plant debris or soil. So if you plant back in the same spot, you're really asking for it.
Sure. Did you avoid the hail the other night in the storm Friday night in Spring Green?
Yeah, we did. We had a really bad storm, I would say, wind damage and so forth, but no hail. The garden got through in good shape. We have a large sweet corn plot, and I thought, I'll bet you that's going to be lodged over a bit, but it wasn't at all. So that was nice. And we also have what I call a caterpillar high tunnel. So we set that up each year. It's a plastic hoop house, and we have about 50 tomato plants in there. And I always worry about that because it's, it reaches about 8 feet high, and so the wind could take that. But it got through it fine. We were in good shape. So that was good. And incidentally, the hoop house tomatoes are coming on very strongly. And one of the reasons we are doing that is, in fact, to avoid diseases, because if you have a cover over the tomatoes, they never get wet. So you never have wet leaves that could then generate conditions for disease to develop. So that's kind of a nice thing with that. I've enjoyed working on that in particular. And we are supplying quite a few tomatoes now. I think just the other morning we picked, I want to say it was 28 pounds of tomatoes that we took to an assisted living facility, the Meadows in Spring Green. And they seem to appreciate that. So I'm trying to remember what the weights were on the previous ones, but we're starting to take a fair number of tomatoes now.
That's my favorite part of the garden. I think a lot of people, too. You
yes,
know,
man, definitely. Those
right out of the garden yeah. tomatoes. You yeah. can't hardly
yeah.
beat that.
Yeah.
Well, this is a big week for River Valley Area Community Gardens, Rosellen.
Yes, it is. We've got an open house tomorrow night. Public's invited to come. We'll be there from 6 to 8, so people can stop on down and take a tour and just walk through and see what's growing. We've got a lot of interesting things going on. There's some different trellising methods that people have tried this year. We've got one gal that tried trellising watermelon. Unfortunately, she got some bacteria, is that yeah. right, Doug,
yeah. Yeah.
in her?
So
it's
the exception. There was a serious bacterial problem.
with watermelon.
Yeah, with the watermelon. Yeah.
Okay.
But just she had the trellises and the melon she had bagged, and it looked like, I was really excited yeah. to see how they were going to end up in the at the end of the year. And then we've got another gal that did a trellis or a garden art thing of willow branches in hers, and so that was interesting to see, and people are growing different things, and the gardens look really good, so it's just been it's really nice, and I invite anybody who wants to from wherever you are to come down and visit the community garden at 6:30. This kind of got precipitated because last March we had a planning in your garden workshop. And I had a couple of requests from some of those participants to see what the results were from that workshop. So we set this up then for a kind of show and tell for those participants. And I said, well, let's throw a whole open house in. So at 6:30, the participants are going to go on a little tour themselves and tour the 9 plots of the people that were involved in the workshop, but anybody is invited to come along on that tour, and there won't be any formal presentations. People will just be saying, well, this worked and that didn't work, you know, that sort of thing. And it'll also be a time when people that are interested in possibly renting a plot next year from us can come over and see what it's all about, and get their name on a list so that when we get the registration materials available in September, October, that I can email that information out to them and we can get them registered for next year. So that's a big opportunity. And then on Wednesday, well, Tuesday morning is our last Busy Bees program, and that's for kids ages 3 to 10, grade 4, I guess I should say. And so they'll be finishing up their season of work, actual study. And then Wednesday, the library is having their story time at the community library, or at the community garden, sorry.
Okay.
And so that's exciting. They wanted to know if they could come over, and I said, sure. So we'll see how that goes. So there might be some little kids running through the garden at 10:30 on Wednesday morning and after story time. So that'll be an interesting time. So yeah, it's an exciting week this week. So
I hope they read Mr. McGregor's Garden, Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail. That'd be a perfect
That would be perfect, wouldn't it? Especially if a rabbit goes running down
yeah,
through. We see those little ground squirrels every once in a while running around.
Yeah. Well, and we do have rabbits, too.
Yeah, we do have rabbits. I don't always see them, but we do have rabbits.
Yeah. Yeah.
The focus is supposed to be games and stories and music about gardens. So we'll see what the library staff has put together, because I'm just going to sit back and relax for this one. So,
I bet.
Yeah, that'll be a fun day for us. So
sure.
Yeah.
And during your open house, too, that's a great opportunity for people to ask questions of the gardeners, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you might, even if you garden at home and you see something that interests you, you know, it's a great time to ask a question, and we can, if we don't know the answer, we can maybe figure it out or find the answer and get back to them. But yeah, it'd be a perfect time. I had gardeners last night when I went over to the garden. I just pulled up and they're getting ready to leave, and they just harvested, and in their trunk of their car were these gorgeous zinnias that were a muted color that I'd never seen before. And they had a whole basket of zinnias and glads and zucchini, and then they had another pan full of green tomatoes, and just the combination of those two sitting in the trunk of their car was beautiful. And I snapped a picture, and it's on our Facebook page right now because it was so gorgeous. But They also had an eggplant that was a two-toned eggplant, a red and a white. And so some people try those experiments with different kinds of plants. So if you see something like that in the garden and ask a question, we can, you know, kind of help you out. And if you want to grow it at home, then we might be able to tell you where they got the seeds or whatever. So, yeah, it's a great time to ask questions, see what's going on, and maybe help yourself out at home. So.
Sure. And yeah. I think sometimes, you know, Every little plot is different, isn't it?
Yes.
As you look
yes.
at it, I mean, one person might have success with zucchinis, yep. and the other one might not.
Absolutely. Yep. I actually have been very excited. I think I've been gardening a while, and I think I'm a fairly good gardener. But there are many things I hadn't grown. So, a couple of years back, I had never grown leeks, and but I like potato leek soup. Mm-hmm. So we had a gardener that had some extra leek. Transplants, and they were just going to throw them out, and they said, well, if you want them, take them. So I planted leeks. Well, that was exciting for me to plant a crop I hadn't planted before. And, you know, for somebody who plants leeks all the time, they go, well, it's no big deal. But for me, wow, that was neat, and turned out to be quite successful. And last year, actually, I planted for the first time ever parsnips, which I probably won't plant again, but I did get parsnips, so that was good. You know, there are always things like that. And so, and then there are varieties. I mean, as Rosalyn was mentioning, the eggplant variety, you know, if somebody's growing something that you haven't, well, you may grow eggplants, but you've never grown that particular variety. And so that's interesting to you. And, of course, different people have different success rates. My nemesis has been carrots. I have a terrible time growing carrots. And I usually end up replanting carrots once in a while. And it's, so there are two things about that in the garden that's nice. Number one, I run into gardeners who will say, yeah, you know, I've had that same problem. I had to replant my carrots too. And then there's always the person who said, wow, I have great carrots. And you go, how did you do that?
I know.
Tell me how you did that. Because I want to do it too. So so it's a lot of fun. And, you know, everybody, you know, can sort of develop their niche in that regard. You know, all of our gardeners find things that they're good at growing. And so that makes it fun. Broccoli is another one that I think about. I always start some broccoli in a flat in my house prior to the start of the season, and I transplant it in the garden. And I've had terrible problems getting really nice broccoli from the spring planting. And we had a gardener a couple of years ago that just had gorgeous broccoli. You know, it gets to be the end of June, and there's this broccoli head that, wow, my broccoli is just not doing very well. And he said, well, he's using a particular variety. So I switched to that variety, and I'm getting much better broccoli now. So that was just a nice tip to find out that, you know, this variety was better than that variety.
Sure. Yeah, and I didn't think about that so much, but it does probably depend on all the variables, but varieties are probably a big reason.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I think that's always a major factor to keep in mind. And in fact, it turns out with something like broccoli, there are varieties that are selected for growing in the spring, and then there are varieties that are selected for growing in the fall. My guess is I'd been growing a variety that probably would have done better in the fall.
Yep.
But at any rate, so there are lots of little tips and tricks that are fun to share with people in the garden with each other. And then we have a very congenial group in terms of helping each other just more generally. We have a number of task groups in the garden because we ask people to spend a little bit of volunteer time helping with the general maintenance of things. And so it's fun to get together and, you know, an hour or two of, you know, pulling weeds or harvesting something, you know, is enjoyable when you've got many hands to do it.
You mentioned something earlier, too, about maybe switching where you grew tomatoes one year, switching it.
Yep.
And that might be part of the reason, because I find that sometimes in my own garden where something mm-hmm. like, for instance, zucchini, it seems like that's the easy thing to grow, but we didn't have a very good year last year, and then we switched areas and it grew well this year.
Yeah. 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 No, that makes a big difference for most crops, actually. Of course, in a small garden plot, that can be a challenge, but, you know, and in some years, I've actually decided that I just wasn't going to grow a particular crop for a year. And I mean, there are lots of vegetables to choose from. So, well, this is the year I'm not going to do eggplants. Well, actually, I always have to do eggplants because my wife insists on it. But But at any rate, so rotation is important. And actually, this year we tried something a little different. We have a number of gardeners that have grown potatoes in their plots, and potatoes are a nice crop to grow, a good staple. But we always have problems with Colorado potato beetles and so forth. And so this year we decided that we'd try to grow all of our potatoes in one place where we could try to control the beetles all in one place. And that's worked out, I think, actually quite well so far. So gardeners, we basically got together and people said, well, I was going to put in 5 feet of row of potatoes or 10 feet of row or 20 feet of row. And so we made sure we had at least that many row feet of potatoes in this common area. And then we've been, managing it together that way. And I think we're going to get a really good yield of potatoes, and all the gardeners that would have grown some potatoes in their own plots are going to be very happy because I think they'll get a lot of potatoes.
maybe get more than they would have then.
Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
Yeah.
They grow well. So you don't say that, okay, these are my five plants and those are yours. I mean, you just kind of harvest it all together, or how does that work?
Yeah, what we'll do is, so we have different varieties because some gardeners said, well, I like red potatoes and some like russets and some like, you know, round whites. So we made sure that we grew at least enough row feet for each of the gardeners by type. And then what we'll do is we'll contact the gardeners that have their potatoes there, and we'll dig them, you know, together. Ideally, probably we'll have to do it over several times because not everybody can come at the same time. But it should work out pretty well. And I've got extra. In fact, the way it worked out, we filled a couple of plots, so it was actually more space than we needed, just in case we didn't have a very good crop. And but it is a good crop, and so I think we're going to have a lot of potatoes to send to the food pantry. That'll just be extra from that plot. So that'll be kind of nice, too. And the advantage might be that we'll get more gardeners involved in digging potatoes for the food pantry.
That's true. The other key question is, when do you typically harvest potatoes? Is it when the leaves die, or?
Yeah, so we have already harvested some what are called new potatoes for the food pantry. We sent 55 pounds, I think, of new potatoes, which are, in our case, they were red potatoes. And we dug those green. And new potatoes are typically, they're a little sweeter, but they're also, of course, not as big as they would have been if you'd waited. So that's new potatoes. I always think of those, you boil them up, they're smaller, they boil up quickly, and then, you know, you put a little butter on them, and they're really good. So we've done that. This next time around, the potatoes are now starting to die back, especially the red potatoes, because they're a fairly early season potato. They're dying back, and so typically you would dig those when they've completely died back. And that way the skin set on the tuber so that you don't scuff the skin off. And so by the middle of August, those will be ready to dig, because they're dying now, starting to die back. The russets are hanging on a little longer, which they need to because they need a longer season to really bulk up. But they'll probably start dying back in another week or two, and then it'll take them a number of weeks to finish off. Yeah.
Things will be harvested, you know, as we go along, but you always hope for a long growing season.
Yes.
Not an early frost, if you can help it.
Yep, so. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, commercially, because of all the pesticides that are used, they can keep potatoes going into September or longer. We'll be a little earlier than that because we're trying to follow more or less organic practices. That's part of our philosophy at the garden. And so, you know, we're trying not to use a lot of sort of heavy-duty pesticides, insecticides, and fungicides. We do use an organically approved insecticide for the beetles. But other than that, we're you know, organic, I guess you'd say. And so things are dying down a little earlier than they are out in the conventional sector. But we're going to get a good crop. I think we're going to average you know, maybe 80% of what a commercial yield would be. So that's that. From my perspective, I think that's pretty good. So we're talking maybe, well, already actually with the new potatoes, I think we were 250 hundredweight per acre, which is what, how potatoes are measured in 100-pound weights. So, you know, a commercial operation might have 350 or 400 hundredweight. If we're at 250 digging them early, I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah.
And actually, I think the night we dug those, we had several of our gardeners come out to help. And I think we were all very pleased as we dug them that, oh, look at these are nice.
Admiring your own work there.
Exactly. Right? We were, admittedly.
So how do you determine, Doug, what you keep and what goes to the food pantry? Is there a certain percentage there every year?
Yeah. So we have plots that are dedicated to the food pantry. Okay. So basically everything in those plots is to go to the food pantry unless the timing is off or there's a small amount that we just don't think is going to be appropriate to send because maybe there's only a few heads of broccoli. If you had 50 heads of broccoli, that would be good. But if you've just got a couple, well, maybe let's just harvest those and, you know, we'll give them to people in the garden. Or we put them out by the road. We have a kiosk. And we'll put produce out there that's just free for the public. And we put a lot of produce out there. In fact, zucchini, you mentioned earlier, when zucchini grows well, you just can't hardly get rid of it. And we've been putting quite a bit of zucchini out in the kiosk from, in fact, the food pantry plots because the zucchini keeps coming in constantly and we only do the food pantry, once a month or two times a month. We also do supply one of the assisted living facilities, the Meadows. And actually, we just sent them, I don't remember how much zucchini it was, but...
I didn't write down the numbers, but you gave them 42 pounds of tomatoes, cabbage, and zucchinis and squash.
Yeah.
So 42 pounds is quite a bit. Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a lot of zucchini bread and fried zucchini and everywhere you can figure out to make it.
Yeah.
So.
We got a thank you note from them, and they were cutting up the summer squash and some of the tomatoes that night for supper for the residents. So that's really nice to know how they're using it. Last year, Doug gave them a whole bunch of tomatoes, and they canned tomato sauce so they could have it with spaghetti and soup and that sort of thing. So they... Yep. They were eating our produce through the winter, so that was pretty cool.
It has to make you feel good, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
And we're getting, I'd say every year, a little bit better with our food pantry plots in terms of production, and so that's nice as well. And we do store potatoes into the fall and into the winter, so we actually supply to the food pantry through typically January or February with things like potatoes and onions primarily are the two that we have quite a bit of. So that's a nice outreach for us. This year we're doing better with, I mentioned broccoli. We actually did send broccoli to the food pantry. I think we had 15 pounds of broccoli, which broccoli is sort of lightweight. That's a crate full of broccoli. So we were happy about that. And quite a bit of cabbage was sent the first time around. So... it's good. We're doing a lot of potatoes, a lot of summer squash. Those are crops that I consider to be fairly easy to grow, and they're staples. Everybody likes them. We have tried a few other types of crops. We've sent them eggplants, and eggplants aren't quite as popular in general, so we don't do that.
Little tomato sauce, red sauce, you can make it taste good, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm told. Again, my wife has said I can't garden unless I grow eggplants, and I always hope they'll die.
let's hope she's not listening today.
Yeah. Everybody has their favorites, that's for sure. We'll take a break and come back with more in a moment. River Valley Area Community Gardens, there are events coming up this week, and also talking about the growing season here on The Morning Show. Today's morning show is a follow-up to a show that we did way back in March, and we told them to come back, and they certainly followed suit today as we welcome Rose Ellen Schneider and Doug Rouse to the morning show, talking about not only the River Valley area community garden, but also gardening in general. It's an exciting time to be a gardener, I think. Rose Ellen, you have a lot of things coming up here in terms of benefits for the garden as well, don't you?
Yeah, we're still raising money for our new equipment, Chad. The cost came in over what we were anticipating, and so we think we've got enough money right now to build the actual shed, but we don't exactly know what our foundation's going to be, and that's where we're really hitting, trying to make sure we get that funded before we even start building. So, yeah, we've got a couple more fundraisers coming up. We've got a brat fry coming up on August 19th at Prem's. And before that, we've got a Culver Share Night in Spring Green on August 10th from 4 to 8. That's a Thursday night. And then we've got another Culver Share Night on September 12th, which is a Tuesday night. And that, again, is from 4 to 8. And we've got another Brat Fry on September 23rd at Prem's. That'll be from 10 to 2-ish, approximately. And then we've got our caramel apple sale at the RV School Fair on October 6th. So that'll be a fun one. And that's usually a good fundraiser for us. So the kids and adults all came after COVID. We weren't there for a year. And when we finally did get back to the school fair with the caramel apples, everybody came up and said, "You're here, you're here. We're so glad." And one of the parents said, "Well, you're a tradition. You can't quit. We're glad you're back." You know, so it's been interesting for me because I don't eat caramel apples, and I've had to kind of chair that fundraiser, and so I had to learn how to make caramel apples. Last year, one of our gardeners showed up to help us, and he was double dipping. And he dipped two apples in the caramel and pull them up and twist them at the same time. And it was just fantastic and fun to watch him do that. So I hope he comes back and helps us this year. But so we've got all of those fundraisers coming up, and all that money right now is designated to go to the shed, depending upon what base we use, whether we do a slab or a frost wall or columns, that's all to be determined yet. So any leftover money then would go to either another project for next year, or we'll put it towards any of the needs that we might have for this year. We run on a budget of about $8,900 a year. So some people might think that's a lot, but I look at it for a nonprofit to raise $8,900 to run their facility. That's a small amount of money overall. The gardeners pay a plot fee, but that comes to about a third of the cost of the budget. So we do have to do fundraising to make the rest of it. So far we're good. So those are the exciting things that are coming up, the busy activities that we got besides what's going on in the garden. So I'll jump back to the youth. I mentioned the Busy Bees earlier. Tomorrow's their last official day with the curriculum. They've learned how to plant plants. They've learned parts of plants. They've learned about watering. They've learned about the soil. They've learned about weeds and mulching. They've learned about bugs and pollinators. And we talked about flowers and fruits and seeds one day. Tomorrow, they're going to learn about giving back. So we'll be harvesting food for the kiosk. So every child will be able to put something in the kiosk. So I know we're digging potatoes, and that's always a big hit with the kids to try to get their fork down and get those potatoes lifted up. And we'll be probably picking some tomatoes, and I don't know what else Doug's got over there, but that'll be an exciting day tomorrow. And then we're trying something new this year. We're inviting all the families in on the 6th of August for a picnic. So all the Busy Bee families should be coming in, and they'll be getting a recognition for accomplishing their tasks in the garden this year. So that'll be exciting for them. And I'll hit the junior gardeners, too, because they've been just super this year. Our 9 junior gardeners, that program is set up that they are treated like adults. So they have a mentor. Either Doug or I or another gardener will volunteer to mentor them if they want them. This year, we were fortunate in that either the parents or the grandparents all said, we'll mentor. We'll mentor our child. So that gave them an opportunity to have some quality time with their child in the garden, which was really neat to see. So they've done a fantastic job with their gardens. They've planted what they wanted to plant, and they planned where they were planting it. And I and Doug, I think, were there initially for most of them to get them started and talk about weeding and mulching and little mine watering. Yeah. But they've taken off, and the parents and the youth have just gone ahead and had done some wonderful things with their gardens. So I'm excited to see them as they harvest their gardens now too. So it's just wonderful, and to have nine of them. Mm-hmm. The school was very supportive. River Valley Middle School, especially, that's where most of our kids came from. The science teachers there just promoted it and handed out the registration information. So I can't say enough of thanks to the school system for helping us out on that. So.
As a junior gardener, you were responsible for everything.
Everything.
So you didn't have any young Phil Knees that let the burdocks grow up really tall and the nettles and everything else. They were responsible, then, in other words.
That's right. They had to take care of them, yeah. And they've done a good job. And they listened well when we said, get that mulch now so you don't have to weed. So I think every one of them, I can't think of one that hasn't mulched. And so, yeah, they haven't had to do a whole lot of work. Now they can just sit back and harvest their crops. So it's been great. And I hope they all come back next year, because they've been a great bunch of kids to work with. We got together one night and made signs, name signs for their plots. So that was kind of fun. And everybody's sitting around talking and jabbering and, you know, getting to know each other. And because some of the kids were homeschooled and some were in school and some didn't know each other. So that was just a really fun time.
Yeah. Good chance to get together. I would go that way from time to time, either going to River Valley High School or coming back just to drive by. It seemed like, Doug, there was always something going on at River Valley Community Garden. Somebody's always there.
Yeah. Actually, very common to have at least two or three of the gardeners. Of course, with 38 families, you know, there's a good chance that there'll be at least a couple of people there. And that makes it nice, because it's a large enough group then that it's not like you're out there by yourself. And if you have questions, you can usually find somebody around. Quite often, there'll be three or four different gardeners working in their gardens. And so that just makes a nice atmosphere. And it becomes kind of a social thing as well that way. You get to know some people. I did want to mention, we're very big on mulch, because weeds are such a problem. And so weeds this year, despite the drought, it seems like the weeds grow anyway.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
yes, I don't know how that works, but they're really frustrating that way. And so this is exactly the time of year when it seems like they just take off. It's like you turn your back and they're a foot tall, and then they're 2 feet tall, and so you really have to stay on top of them. And so we promote mulching quite a bit. And that's something I want to mention about our garden. We provide, I think, a lot of resources for our gardeners in terms of supply. So we provide mulch. Actually, we've purchased 18 large bales of straw this year have been used. So that's a lot of straw. And we pay for that. So that's part of that budget of $8,000. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're paying for our water. We're paying for some other things. So, for example, we provide organic fertilizer so that gardeners don't have to bring their own fertilizer to the plots. We also provide a rototiller and some lawn mowers. And stakes.
Tools.
And tools. So we provide quite a few things that make it pretty easy for a gardener to begin. In fact, a beginning gardener really wouldn't need to put too much money into their garden other than the cost of the plot, because they'd have potentially the tools. Actually, we often have extra transplants and other seeds and things around for gardeners as well. So it's a... is a nice garden in that respect, to have hoses and water and fertilizer and mulch and rototilling and so forth all provided. So I mentioned that just to sort of put a plug in for the garden. We ought to have a long waiting list.
Well, it sounds like it's filled up, you know, pretty well.
And it has.
It is.
Yeah.
And are there plans then to possibly expand someday if you ever needed that?
We're on our site. We're as far as we can go.
Okay.
As far west as we can go. We think we've got room on site that we can add more plots in a different spot. And we might possibly have to move flower bed or something, you know, or maybe ideas have been tossed around about maybe moving the Busy Bees garden out front instead of behind the flower bed. So that would free up a couple of plots there. So there's some options there. But right now we're sitting good, unless with everybody comes flocking to us now, you know. So there's plenty of room there yet. So if we fill up what we've got tilled, there's room for some more.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we have room for definitely a few more gardeners, and with the reconfiguration possibilities, we could get a few more gardeners still. So we're not turning people away at this point. And in fact, we could take another probably 7 or 8 gardeners pretty easily.
Oh, at least I was going to say 10. Depending on size of a plot, you know, our plots are 20 by 20, and that's easily divided then into a 10 by 20 or a 10 by 10. And one of the things that happened this year, I think we had close to 89 plots altogether because we divided 20 by 20s into 10 by 10s. So all of a sudden from 79 plots that are numbered, we've got like almost 10 more that are in those actual plots because we were able to divide them. So, and that's the other thing too, if you're a new gardener or if you're a retired gardener, retired farmer, and you just want to have that fresh fruit or, excuse me, produce during the summer, and you want a small plot, a 10 by 10 is wonderful. We've got people that just moved in off the farm that are gardening with us this year, and they didn't want anything bigger than a 10 by 10 this year because they didn't know if they'd be able to take care of it. They had a huge garden at the farm, but now that they're in town, they downsized. So we can accommodate people on whatever size of plot they want. So
food is one of those things that can take back the senses to, you know, earlier times. So if you have a fresh tomato from the garden, you make a sandwich, it probably takes you back to being a youngster on the farm, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing like being in the garden and picking something right there fresh and you know, tasting it.
Oh, yeah.
And so forth, and or taking it back and, you know, having it for supper. And absolutely, it's great. And we'd encourage anybody who's thinking about that to consider our garden. The other thing we do have is we have a few corporate plots. So, for example, we have a strawberry bed, which is open to anybody who's gardening to sample the strawberries. And so that's kind of a nice little perk. It does mean that we need to have gardeners to sort of volunteer to help maintain that strawberry bed. But we have also raspberries and actually a couple of cherry trees.
Yes.
Which did well this year, I thought.
Did very well this year. best crop in 8 years.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, definitely. And then an asparagus patch. Which actually needs some work, but nevertheless produced a reasonable amount of asparagus this spring. So that's available if you're a gardener with us. You can sample from a number of things we're doing that are for everybody to share.
There's also a rhubarb patch that was used pretty heavily this year.
Yes,
so.
Actually, that rhubarb patch definitely got used this year.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, a lot of people took rhubarb. Yeah. And then the sweet corn patch this year that's an example of something that's a little optional. We had a couple of extra plots, and so it was decided we could plant sweet corn in there. if we had enough gardeners, maybe we'd use those plots as for individual gardeners. But since we still have a little bit of room, we put that into sweet corn, and that sweet corn is for everybody to help themselves to. We should easily get 40 or 50 dozen sweet corn out of that, so there'll be plenty for everybody to take at least a dozen or two ears. So, and actually that sweet corn is looking very good, if I do say so myself.
Yep. I'll bet.
I checked it the other night. Yes,
yeah,
it does.
Yeah, it's a nice dark green color, and it's growing very well. I say that because I was heavily involved in getting that to grow, and I was involved in doing it last year, and it didn't do so well last year. So I'm happy it's doing well this year.
You must have planted at the right time then.
I did a couple of things differently this year that, helped.
And we'll be harvesting potatoes again before too long. What's the secret to not stabbing them when you stick that fork in there?
Oh, that's a good question. Yes. You know, so I've worked with potatoes actually in my professional life. And potato growers will say, well, you know, if you're a good potato grower, you'll never stab a potato. And I always think, uh-oh, because I've stabbed plenty. But it is true that there's kind of a knack to it. If you can put the fork in on the side of the hill, and you can do it straight up and down, don't angle it under.
Okay.
You can often avoid stabbing potatoes.
Okay.
I've gotten fairly good at it, but you still stab them once in a while.
I'll have to remember that. Won't be long.
I know we're winding down here, so I want to get a plug in, but first I wanted to say we've been talking about 38 families, and I just made a quick calculation here. There's at least 12 families in the Busy Bees, 9 families in the junior gardeners. So if I added right, we have a total of about 59 families involved in that garden. So no wonder, Phil, you see somebody at the garden all the time.
All the time.
Because there's always somebody with those 59 families there. So, but I did want to let our listeners know that you can follow us on Facebook. We have a page there where I throw in all sorts of gardening hits and recipes and news about the gardens. And that's River Valley Area Community Gardens. So that's the Facebook page. We have a web page. The address for the web page is rvacg.org. And we have an email address that you can contact us, and that's info@rvacg.org. Or a phone number, which is 608-588-6040. So you can contact us in all four of those different ways if you're interested in any of our activities or getting involved, volunteering. We'll take volunteers, which is a good opportunity for retired farmers or retired gardeners and want to help and keep their hands in it. Or if you want a plot, you can contact us in any of those ways.
Interesting. Well, good. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having us.
Good to have that follow-up there and a good growing season. We wish you the best. We hope it's just bountiful and plentiful, and you have a lot to give to the food pantry this year.
No, thank you. Yes, we're doing well at this point.
Good.
Yes, thank you, Phil.
Doug Rausch, Vice President of the River Valley Area Community Gardens, and Rose Ellen Schneider as well, talking about that. And don't forget, again, tomorrow night, the garden open house, August 1st, right?
Right, 6 to 8.
Don't miss it. Tomorrow, find out more about it then. This is The Morning Show.